Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 4:03 on The Fan, hour 3 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit a 6. Mike Francesa comes your way. Pete Hoffman in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta in Yonkers, and we're live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
We're now joined by not only a baseball insider, but a man who was at Madison Square Garden in 1979 to see his very first concert. It was the Grateful Dead, and he claims he was the only one in the crowd not smoking weed. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, John Heyman.
Hi, John, you actually went to a Dead concert at the Garden in 1979?
I did.
Not even a couple tokes, John?
No tokes. John. No, not at all. Yep, waiting in line.
Were you doing a little mescaline?
No drugs. Okay. Whatsoever. I might have had my asthma inhaler with me. That might have been the only
asthma inhaler.
And waited in line at the music store in Cedarhurst. Got a bunch of tickets.
Right.
A little scalping, so I wasn't exactly crime free. Did do scalping. Made enough money for my ticket to be free and my brother's friend. I actually was mistaken because my brother's friend was only 13, and he didn't do drugs then either. So
right,
I wasn't the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
When I saw that tweet, I actually started thinking to myself, even though I'm not a big music guy at all, like, what was my first concert? And I remember when I was 9 years old, my dad took me to Westbury Music Fair to see Huey Lewis and the News.
And the News?
Yeah.
There you go.
So no, I like Huey Lewis. I'm ridiculed within my own family for being a big Huey Lewis fan.
Really?
I guess it's not cool. I don't know.
Huey Lewis is good. What's wrong with Huey?
He's cool.
I don't know. It's not, it's not cool, I guess. To me, it's cool. I like it.
You know what? Here's my feeling. Any music you like is cool. I mean, if you like it, then it's cool.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I like the Carpenters, right? Some people may not.
Okay, so you like Karen Carpenter,
cool.
Why not?
Yeah,
right. I can understand.
I like Rascal Flatts. Damn it, they're cool.
Whatever it is.
I don't know them. But
by the way, I saw the Dead in, I still think probably the best concert. And I was never a big Dead guy. I wasn't the biggest Dead fan. I saw the Dead in 1973 at the old Fairgrounds Coliseum in Indianapolis. And I don't know if I could make the same statement you did, John.
Probably not, Joe. By the way, Evan, I have a little Dead trivia for you. I don't know if you knew this.
I don't know. I can tell you
this?
I don't know the answer.
What is this, John?
Mickey Hart, the drummer of the Dead, went to our high school, Lawrence High School.
Is that right?
How about that?
Stuart Goodman's class, 1960 class of Lawrence High School.
Wow.
And his name at the time was Mike Hartman, which is more of a Five Towns name than Mickey Hart.
Interesting.
That's interesting because they're from San Francisco. Bob Weir and Jerry Garcia,
sure,
and all those guys, they're from San Francisco. I'm surprised. Surprising, one of their original guys was a Long Islander.
Absolutely. There you go. A little trivia.
How about that?
I bet you weren't knowing that you were going to get some Dead trivia today.
I did not.
Wow. I can see John Heyman right now, like, singing Truckin', right? You know? A little Sugar Magnolia, right, John?
Maybe.
I mean, I could see you all over that, right?
Yeah, I'm not singing Truckin' right now.
Uncle John's band? I mean, come on. Give me something, right, John?
Not a pretty picture for anybody to be thinking about.
Well, speaking of not pretty pictures, as we sit here today, the owners made their offer. The players were, not to surprise of anyone, very upset. What do you make right now of kind of the first round of negotiations between the owners and players?
Yeah, not too much progress. I mean, the owners made an offer, and I understand it. It was a logical offer. I do understand why the players were not happy with that offer. The cuts are very steep, particularly to the star players, the Gerrit Coles and Mike Trouts of the world. I get that. So I understand why the players were upset. I would like to see both sides compromise and come together, and I think it has to be done. We cannot have the season killed over a dollar fight between, as they call, say, millionaires and billionaires. Although I will say this, not all the players are millionaires, because 65% of the players make $1 million or less, and their careers are rather short in many cases.
Is that really the number? I didn't know that.
That's
65%.
A big number. Is that really true? 65% make under $1 million?
$1 million or less, yes.
Wow.
In the, you know, I'm assuming that includes the 40-man roster. So
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's got to, because you're including guys that may not even be in the major leagues, but have been in the major leagues, I assume.
Maybe, but players, if you're a rookie, you played 1 year or 2 years, you make under $1 million.
Yeah, Pete Alonso doesn't make $1 million.
Exactly. So it's more than we think, and so to say it's millionaires and billionaires, that's a bit of a misnomer. But we need to have some progress here. We need to compromise. I think that. The problem is the players are of the belief they'd already negotiated this on March 26th, and they were going to get prorated pay, which means the regular pay, but just over fewer games, so half the money for an 82-game season instead of 162. I would say, having read the agreement or the pertinent clauses in the agreement, I would say that's a gray area, though. I mean, it depends how you read that. It's pretty clear that the situation needs to be economically feasible. I guess the players could argue it's better for the owners that you play games than not play games, so it's more economically feasible, but it's pretty clear that they're talking about playing games with players. To me, I'm not a lawyer, so I could see how you could read it the player's way, but I having read the agreement, or at least the pertinent clauses, it's not clear to me that the owners can't renegotiate this. So, you know, I don't know whether they were told that this is clear or what, but I do sympathize with the players, because they're the ones going to be taking the risk to go out there. I think that's their best argument, that, you know, we're getting half pay anyway, and we're taking the risk. I think that's a fair argument, more than we had a deal, we have to stick to the deal.
Are you concerned, John? Are you starting to get a little concerned that we may not see baseball this
summer?
A little,
but you know what? I think all these negotiations, they don't all play out in the press like this one is. But I think they all start out badly, and they move forward at some point. The bad part about this is, like I said, I think the players had a misunderstanding here. I'm not blaming them in any way, but I think there was a bit of a misunderstanding as to what the actual deal was on March 26th. And I do sympathize with them, as I said. I do think they have a case to go for the prorated. I get that. But I think we need a compromise, whether that be, you know, take the owner's deal now and get something great later as a trade-off, and agree to that trade-off right now, which would be maybe making it, instead of waiting 3 years for arbitration, let's wait 2 years, or instead of 6 years for free agency, let's wait five. Or maybe have a floor for teams to spend money that they have to, if something positive for the players that they can hold on to. But I do think they need to negotiate. And this is not really, if the response is we want prorated and then play more games, that's not really a response. I guess a counter, but it's not really responsive.
Well, there's a lot of ways that they could counter. Why not counter? And I get asking for more games because the agreement, like you said, is prorated. So the more games you play, the more you get paid. What about, okay, guys, let's play 110 games and we'll all take an additional 15% cut? Or how about the idea of, we will defer money for down the road? We call that the Washington Nationals strategy, or the Bobby Bonilla strategy. How about those two kinds of compromises?
The players, I've heard from many players who like the idea of deferring money. I don't think that does much for the owners. Look at the cuts they're looking for. Instead of Cole making, as I said, $18 million, he'll be making $8 million. Trout, instead of $19 million, he'll be making $9 million. That's $20 million for just two of the you know, 1,000 or so players in Major League Baseball. So they're looking for pretty drastic cuts. So I don't think the deferral will work. I do think there are compromises to be made in terms of the number of games, the number of playoff games, doing something later. They just have to be creative, and they have to get down to it, and they have to do it pretty quickly because they want to get started June 10th to start at July 4th. And I do think that they want to start July 4th. I mean, is it possible they'll push that back? I guess it's possible. I think June 1 for the soft deadline, that's very soft deadline to get this done. They certainly have till June 8th or 9th, since June 10th is the date of spring training.
You know, we were talking about this earlier, talking, of course, to John Heyman, and I brought this up to you before, that I got to believe that there's a faction of owners, or a number of owners, that probably don't want to play this year because they're probably going to lose more money. They probably lose less money if they don't play. Do you think that there's a percentage, let's say, of major leaguers, the guys that are making a lot of money, that could actually absorb not playing all year, that say, you know what, I'm just going to take the year off. I got enough money. I'll live with it this year and come back next year. Do you think there's major leaguers that are thinking that way?
It's possible. I haven't heard that. You know, I think somebody did a story on the players. You're talking about the players, I think.
So the players, yes.
Somebody did a story on the players that have had either pre-existing conditions or a battle with cancer or a diabetes, something, and they all said they want to play. I have talked to some coaches who have are about my age, close to your age, Joe, and they – as many people who are about 60 have pre-existing conditions, and they're concerned. Did they say they weren't going to come? I they didn't say that, but I think there definitely are concerns. But if you're a player, I don't know of any player who said they're going to take the year off. But you know, I think it'd be bad. I mean, in terms of the sport, they need to get together and play. And as for the owners, I think they'll lose. They're going to lose money either way, but I think they'll lose less money if they play. I mean, that may be a negotiating a power in the negotiation for the players, because the owners, I do think if they play, they'll lose less money. And you know, they can certainly play more playoff games. You have an extra round. There's a way to make up some money here and there. So I think the owners certainly want to play, and I think most of the players feel that they want to play, as long as it's the health protocols are okay, and they're going over those as well. So a lot of complications. The time is short, but they have to get it done, as long as it's not too risky to play. We don't want people losing their health over this, but it looks like the health numbers are going in the right direction. So the economics better not blow this up. That would be terrible for baseball.
We're talking to John Heyman about baseball. We've heard Max Scherzer say this. Joe and I have said this. A lot of fans say this, and that's, why wouldn't the owners just show everybody, including the players, these are our books, this is what we're losing? Because there's a healthy skepticism, not just from fans, but obviously from baseball players, that they are losing as much as they're claiming. Why not just show what the deal is?
Yeah, I don't think it'd show the books from this year and show exactly what they're losing, because we haven't started losing yet, but I do think they'll be losing. They could show previous years, which would show big profits for everybody but the Marlins. So they don't want to do that. I don't think other sports organizations do that. They don't do it, and I understand why they're not. The players don't accept the 50-50 revenue split, because the owners do not do that. Even if the owners did it, would there be time to go over it and figure it out, what would be fair, and then would you trust the other side anyway? I don't think there's that much trust there. So I could see why the 50-50 split, which was floated by the owners and was rejected, and the owners didn't insist on that. They came back with something else, and the sliding scale does make sense to me. Why you can't cut from the guy making the minimum, that's not going to save you anything. And you know, why hurt a guy who's making a normal salary? You know, why not? You know, if you're going to hurt somebody who's making $40 million and has a long-term deal, you know, or even $10 million. So I get that. I know the players think that it was a divide-and-conquer strategy. I don't think that was the strategy. It might be a happy byproduct for the owners. I don't know. But I think the reason they're doing the sliding scale is, you can save money by cutting Garrett Cole and Mike Trout. You're not going to save money cutting a guy who's a rookie. It's not going to be worth your time.
You know, one thing, we've seen this in the NHL. Even though the NHL, we have no idea whether they're going to play, will they play, when they're going to play. They have come up with an idea. They have given you what their season is going to look like if and when they come back. We still don't know what baseball season is going to look like when they come back. I mean, where are the games going to be? You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying, John? I mean, we still don't have any of that figured out, right?
Well,
I mean,
the hope is to have the games at their home parks. Now, I will guarantee
the
they'll have
right
them
now?
In New York. I wouldn't guarantee that today, but that's the plan, is to try to play it in their home parks. I mean, there is a case, and you guys brought this up with me probably 6 weeks ago. Why not have the Yankees and the Mets play at their Florida parks?
Right, right.
They could do that. But, I think we're just not sure on that yet. But I wouldn't worry too much about that. They'll figure that out. And in terms of the health protocols, they may disagree a little bit. But there is a general agreement on the key is to keep everybody healthy. I think both sides understand that. So I think we'll be okay there. The disagreement is over the money and how much money the owners should lose. Now, that said, the owners are going to lose money. They have made a ton of money over the recent past, except for the Marlins. The Marlins are losing money. 29 out of 30 teams are making money.
Do you know, and Joe and I touched on this before, and I think it would be a bigger deal in football, but it would still be a factor in baseball. The governor of Texas just recently announced they'll allow sporting events to open up, have fans there, only at 25% capacity. So it's not like, you know, 40,000 people could show up, and I'm sure there would be a lot of social distancing rules. That's happening in the state of Texas. There are baseball teams that play in the state of Texas. Would the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros be the lone exception? Would they be allowed to have fans in the stands, or would baseball want it to be universal and say,
we're not going to
let you do it until everyone does it?
No, they would allow, if it's possible, the authorities, as you said, the governor and the health officials tell them that it's safe, it is possible they could have fans in some places and not others,
okay.
But they would have a provision to split the money. I don't think only Texas and Houston would get the money. They would have to split the money with the other 30 teams. So it wouldn't be a tremendous amount of money, though, because, you know, even if you let in a quarter of the fans.
Hold on a second.
They would split the money with teams that are not having fans in the stands?
I believe so, yes.
What is the current split? Like, if when I go to a Met game or a Yankee game, that money goes, I know, what is it, like 70-30 home road team? What is that split? I actually don't even know. Do you know?
The home team gets the money.
They get every dime.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Marlins have very little money by having fans. So actually, not having fans in the stands is not going to change that their revenues that much.
But why would they split the money then? I know that's being nice and being fair.
Well, they're going to split it in as fair a way as they can. I'm not saying every team will get the exact same amount of money out of that. I'm not sure how it would work, but it wouldn't be a situation where just because one area is corona free, shall we say, or has a better situation, that they get to have the money. I think that they would be.
And they're not concerned from a competitive standpoint. I don't know if a crowd of 25% is going to make a difference. I think it may in other sports, obviously, but they're not concerned about a competitive difference of the Texas teams actually have people in the crowds and no one else does. No concern about that.
No.
Okay.
No concern.
No, I'm just asking.
Go ahead and ask away.
Now, that's very strange. I mean, to me, that's, I just don't see how they can do that. I mean,
wait, for baseball, Joe?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't allow anybody at a Ranger game?
Well, should they? I mean, if you can't have anybody go to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, I mean, why should you have people going into Texas?
Well, if they determine that it's not risky to go to the game and fans want to go, they should be able to go. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, but you're talking about it, Joe, from a competitive standpoint?
Yeah, I think, yes. I mean,
okay. How does that change it from the competitive standpoint?
I don't think that baseball, the home field advantage to me in baseball is not what it is in the NBA or in football. Okay, I mean, the home field advantage of football is not what it once was. I mean, there's so many teams that try. You go to a road Steeler game and the terrible towels are everywhere. So, maybe it's not what it was, but I mean, doesn't it kind of change the playing field a little bit?
I think you worry too much. I wouldn't worry about that. On the list of worries, that's near the bottom.
I try to think about all this stuff.
More I think about it, Joe, for baseball, I don't have a problem with it. I would allow.
Well, like I said, home field advantage is not
exactly
the same in baseball.
Yeah, football, I think they got a different. Football's different. We got to think about it. And
let's be honest, bro. You had a chance to go. Let's say they open Florida, because Florida is kind of the same situation as Texas. You're living in Florida. I think it's a pretty similar kind of situation. Okay?
Probably so. Yes, we're third in population, and I think we're eighth or ninth in the COVID cases. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The heat helps. I think I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't say that,
but it seems that way. Okay. So
yeah.
But I could see. Okay. So they let fans in the stands in Miami and
right.
in Tampa.
Right.
I mean, I could see Evan right now. I have that road trip
to go
see the Mets. You'll be there.
Right.
You'll
You're right. Seeing, You're right. They'll have the same number of fans. Right.
The sculpture's gone.
Fans.
Right. They got rid of the sculpture.
The sculpture's gone. Yes.
The sculpture's gone. They have they normally get. They fill the crowd with about a quarter or a fifth of the crowd is filled. They'll just space them out a little bit more.
Well, that's not going to be a problem down in Miami.
It doesn't
You'll
a problem.
Have you there?
Is it still home field advantage? I don't know.
You know what, hey, John Heyman, I don't know if you have an opinion on this. To Joe's point, I do think in football you got to think hard about this. I don't think necessarily in the NFL
you can't do it in football.
The Cowboys to have people in the stands and the Giants not to.
You can't do that.
I don't know.
I would agree 100%.
Too much
you couldn't
about
do it
stuff
then.
Like that.
Competitive fairness? Yeah, we're very worried about that. We care about fairness. Call us notes.
There's not a big home field.
You know, our team's already behind the eight ball in football. So, I mean, any advantage we get.
I understand, Joe. I know. I saw the whole bracket. I know where you come from. You're worried too much in baseball. If you think that there's fans spaced out at a Miami game all wearing masks and having a thermometer on their forehead is going to give them the big advantage, I don't see it.
No. For baseball, I have no problem with it. The more I think about
guess,
it.
Yeah, I guess the
Marlins
about
have never had a home field.
No, I guess
we're
the
talking
more
about
I think
the
about
Rangers
it.
And the Astros. Though.
I guess the more I think about it, the more it's...
Yeah, we're worried about making sure everybody's healthy, and then we got to get the economics figured out. Someone creative has to figure it out. And I do think MLB, they haven't had any kind of a stoppage for 25 years. That's a pretty good record. I think they're going to figure it out. I know right now we're all wringing our hands and saying, what are we going to do? And there's no
I'm
progress.
Not worried yet, John. No, I'm with you. I think it's too early to be worried. I think maybe next week at this time I'll be worried if there isn't progress. But in this moment, I'm still relatively optimistic. But I got to tell you, it is a little funky that the Houston Astros will get fans in the stands, and those guys go everywhere but Arlington, and they have no issue.
Very good, right.
It's going to be advantage Houston.
Yeah.
The Astros, I will say this, the Astros are the one team with advantage that have no fans on the road now, or very little, unless they go to Texas, because they were going to have a rough year, and now everybody is having an equally rough year. So I get it. It's the Astros will not have to absorb the abuse that they were going to have.
All right, I got to bring this up before you go.
Are you going to bring up the MLB Network?
No.
I will say,
not yet.
64 hours
of
Jeter?
I don't know this for a fact. I think you're right. There will be no talk of gift baskets on the MLB Network Jeter special, and
I'm
looking forward to it because guy's a fantastic player, but no gift baskets. And I will defend the fact I've watched the Fisk game, the Reggie game, the Hershiser clinching for the Dodgers is on. They have a ton of games. Just one Naked Gun once a day.
They do have games.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you my opinion. I love
understand.
MLB Network.
Yeah,
I can
great.
Criticize
MLB
something
Network
I love.
Great.
You know,
right.
I love the Grant documentary. There are things about it I can criticize while still loving it. Right.
That's true. You know?
They had a great thing last night, John, which is right up your alley. They had the I watched it on MLB Network, the dynasty that almost was about the Indians of the 90s.
Oh my God!
And I Albert Bell, I was fascinated watching it.
I know the Albert Bell, but that was one of the best hitting teams ever, and it is
tremendous.
Hard to believe they never won a championship.
94,
I think the Montreal was the best team, but they were pretty darn good. 95, they were the best team and just didn't quite get it done. But if they'd gotten it done, boy, the Braves never would have had no wins. Which
yeah, imagine
even
that.
More.
They'd be the Bills on steroids.
Right,
if that
incredible.
Was the case.
Right, had Braves with that pitching staff, they better have won one. But
John, you know. I gotta bring up something serious because I'm reading about it now. We've heard rumblings about it for a while, and that's the fact that hundreds of minor league baseball players are being cut today. They're being released.
Mm. Yeah.
We already know about the Oakland A's deciding they don't want to pay their minor leaguers anymore. But Jeff Passan's reporting, in the end, Almost 1,000 players could see their baseball careers end. The minor leagues are going to be cutting teams. They're cutting players. What are your thoughts on what's happening now and what the future of minor league baseball is going to look like once we're out of this virus thing that we're all dealing with as a country?
Yeah, I like minor league baseball. I can't say I've gone to a lot of games. I did go to a Cyclones game. I've never been to Staten Island. I love minor league baseball. When I was in the Quad Cities, my first job, I covered Quad City Angels and Quad City Cubs games there. And I love it. These small towns love it. I'm disappointed because I think it helps build baseball to have we don't need it necessarily in Staten Island and Brooklyn, although it's very nice for those boroughs. But these small towns that don't have major league teams, I liked it. So I'm disappointed. It's disappointing for the players. Yes, I know that there are a couple teams that are cutting 40 and 50 guys, and that's related to the fact we're not very likely not having a minor league season, and the fact that we're going to be cutting one affiliate probably from each organization, something like that. And it's disappointing. I would say that it's better to cut the players and give them, make them free agents than do what Oakland did. I did not get that at all, where they are, these poor guys are now not paid, yet still tied to the team. They're not free agents. They can't collect unemployment. And they're still tied to the team. At least if you're let go, you can sign somewhere else if you have that talent, and you can get out there and figure out a way to another team. But I'm disappointed because I like minor league baseball. I think these small towns with minor league baseball appreciated it. And I work at MLB, but I don't, they don't make me part of the decision making process. I'll just say that, because I that one I didn't understand, and we shall see how it works out. We made Brooklyn team maybe the Double A team though.
But John, here's the problem with that, and that's great all selfishly for us as New Yorkers. Oh, great, we could see the Mets Double A team in Brooklyn. That means Binghamton, the Binghamton Mets are gone. The Rumble Ponies are gone.
Right.
And Binghamton needs that.
What else is there to do in Binghamton?
I get it. They need it more than Coney Island does.
I agree with you. I was there. I did an internship at the Binghamton Evening Press there in 1982. And they have some nice hills there. They talk a lot about Rod Serling. He's a Binghamton guy.
Rod Serling, from Outer Limits, huh?
Binghamton. And, the minor league baseball team was a big part of their community. I think they had a hockey team when I was there, too, that minor league hockey team. But, I agree. Same with Quad Cities. If they don't have a team anymore, it's a big part of a community, and it helps people be fans, not of only that team, but of the major leagues. If you're following the Quad City Angels, you get excited when the guy moves up, and certainly with the Quad Cities Cubs, when they moved up, it's both in Illinois. I like minor league baseball. So I'm not sure why, but I'm not privy to the decision making, and nor did they. I hear an explanation yet. Hopefully they'll have one, but I'm disappointed about that.
Well, John, I guess you're going to go home now, listen to a little Working Man's Dead, right? A little Europe 70.
You love that.
Europe 72.
You know, people say I was
John,
18.
I am stunned. I would think you would I could see you going to like an Air Supply concert.
Yes,
I could not see you going to a Dead concert.
Right. Well, people change, and it was more of a business thing with me because I waited in line, like I said, to get a bunch of tickets, and then sold the tickets, and I had two left over, and I was with my friend's brother, and we said, you know what, let's watch the show. We made a profit. We're going to watch the show for free, and we did, and it was very good. The guys were good. I think I might have accidentally gotten a little high. I'm not sure, but I think
now wait a minute. Now, truth is now being told. John.
I did not smoke any.
Come on, John.
I did not partake.
Somebody handed you a little weed.
I'm just saying smoke, the secondhand smoke.
I see.
I did not.
It would be let me put it this way. It would be very hard to go to a Dead concert. Okay?
Yeah.
Especially and not get something. You know what I mean? There'd be something.
Well, accidentally, I did not. Nobody
swirling around the air. There'd be something
in the air, but nobody handed me anything,
I understand.
I know this. You guys will be shocked by this, but I was something of a nerd in high school. So
I have John. I have no doubt about that. I love you. I love you, but the word nerd would have to be it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a bit of, an egghead in high school. But and so that's why I thought it was weird that I tweeted that I went to this Dead concert, because no one would associate me with a Grateful Dead.
Have you seen,
but I enjoyed the music. I thought it was quite good. And, you know, it was a Lawrence High School guy, so we were excited about that. Yeah.
Did you have like, long hair when you were young? Did you, like, was the hair
My hair was pretty long, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I had a beard in college, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm looking at my graduation picture right now with my
You may
parents.
Have to tweet that out, John, so
yeah,
we can all take
out,
a look.
Shoot that out there.
Picture
John.
Of me with a graduation.
Yeah,
with my
tweet
parents.
That baby out. A lot of people would love to see that.
I don't think too many people are interested in that picture of me.
Yeah, I bet you it gets at least 12 retweets.
Right.
That's my guess.
Okay,
just
let's
12.
Bet on the over under on that.
Over under 12 and a half.
You guys
you
really
go.
Miss sports, don't you? You're going to do over under on retweets of my graduation picture. That's sad.
Well, John, we missed
you. Learned a lot today. What's next, Celine Dion?
Never been. I've been to Las Vegas. I've never seen her show. I don't. No. I'm not. That's not my thing.
I understand. Not
John,
mine either.
Great talking to you, my friend. Have
great
a good
talking,
weekend.
Guys.
All right, John. Be well.
John Heyman
Boy,
on
John
the
Heyman going. John Heyman, a deadhead. Who would have thought that?
Never would have thought. And a nerd. Who would have thought either?
What a shock!
Craziness. John. We'll come back and get to
I love John, but that's a no doubt about it. You know,
that's a no-brainer.
Right.
We'll come back and get your phone calls coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get to our five John Sterling calls, the Sterling Five. Plus, I was rewatching an old game, two old games. One was good, one was bad, involving the two baseball teams in this town. We'll get to that later as well, but Ingo and Roberts here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.